Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast, episode number 109. Today, we're in the middle of the split season. We have both county action and a lot of club action to get through. We have a new panel now for the club campaign, so welcome on board Gareth Toohey from Silver Mines, Gareth, isn't it? Sean Smith is back from Sarsfields, and Stephen Cronin and myself from down south. So we start with the club action, lads. There was games on all over the county. Gareth, you're the first man in. New man, we'll go to you first. A lot of action up north there. Starting off, Temple Derry maybe found it a bit hard up a grade this weekend against Kildangan. Got a bit of a beat, Ross Gray.
Yeah, look, I suppose before we go any further and talk about hurling, obviously there's big, life is bigger than hurling. Obviously Ross Gray had the sad passing of Fiona Phelan during the week. So look, obviously, as we said in Clubber all weekend, the minute silence was held before every game. So I'd say, look, we'd all pass our condolences on to the Phelan family, and Fiona was buried there today. So look, may she rest in peace. But look, I suppose Ross Gray, after coming up from last year, big cauldron to come into, arguably the favourites for the county. Kildangan won 219 to 10 points. And look, we all know what Kildangan are, what they're like. They're hurling, they like play through the lines. They're nice, tippy-tappy boys, and they pick off lovely scores. But I tell you one thing I noticed about Kildangan this weekend, and there was a real urgency in them. I said to Billy there after game, Billy Seymour got man of the match. It was like they were down 10 points the whole game, lads. They were chasing and hassling every single ball. I was there in the 64th minute, I think. I think the Ross Gray fullback was coming up the line, Paul Flynn, Billy Seymour, and I think it was Allen as well, chasing him all the way back to the Kildangan 21. They overturned it and got a point from it. Like, they were 15, 16 points up at this stage. So there was a real difference in Kildangan this year from what I saw last year, the last couple of years, that urgency. But no, look, the usual lads stood out. Billy Seymour obviously got man of the match. He got 11 points, 3 or 4 from play. Alan Flynn was unbelievable as well. Johnny Horn had a right game, left wing back. You know, Johnny's probably been playing his trade there with the kind of the second team the last couple of seasons, but Johnny had a right game, left wing back. Barry Hogan's puckouts. I know Barry got kicked to the sideline this year with the Tip Seniors, but lads, his puckouts were unbelievable on Saturday, absolutely unbelievable. And I would say Kildangan were probably in second or third gear all day, so. They would be, so far, they were definitely the most impressive team of the weekend. It wasn't the best game of the weekend, but definitely the most impressive game of the weekend.
Well, like, their team, probably were waiting on them all year to catch fire last year, and they never quite did. And I suppose they came up short in the end. But you often see that with a team, you know, after winning their first county or that, the celebrations and all that get the ball running. They're not quite at full throttle the next year. So, as you say, they really look to be on a mission this year, you know, from the early stages, and they'll take a bit of beating. Nina as well then, up north, showing a bit of early season form.
Yeah, lads, come here, listen, I suppose we had a doubleheader in Dolly yesterday, and I had Tuam and Nina down at the game of the weekend. I suppose it's probably most everyone else did in the county, maybe apart from obviously Drummond Lochmore, but obviously Burt Lee Killer won, we'll get to that afterwards. That was the game of the weekend. That was unbelievable, but this served up a cracker as well. At half time, Nino only had two wides, two only had four. The efficiency by both teams was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, what I will say is, obviously, Tommy Heffernan has been Nina's, one of his their star men for the last couple of years. Tommy had one shot at goal yesterday, and one wide, and he was taken off. Like, it's very rare that Nina, I suppose, they're able to carry one or two lads. Ben West had a quiet day as well yesterday, and after scoring 10 points, I think, the week before in a league final. So not all of Nina's, I suppose, main men turned up. Sam O'Farrell, obviously, we all know Sam, captain, Tipton and Minors. He made a championship debut himself, and Darren McCarty had an absolute classic battle yesterday. I would say Dara came out with it in the end, but I suppose, look, for Nina, Mike Heffernan got 10 points, nine frees, one from play. Sean Phelan was very good as well. Josh Keller, another young fella, 2 points to play. Conor Hennessy, he gave me a run for my money for the man of the match, himself and Mikey Heffernan. He was very good wing forward, Conor Hennessy. A big, strong young fella, up and down the lines all day. But obviously, look, that man, Jake Morris, 7 points to play. I think he touched the ball 10 or 11 times and he got 7 points to play.
And you're looking for your county players to stand out in these games, really, aren't you? And
what I will say is, and it's very rare, Liam Ryan, I suppose Liam was probably told during the week, listen, you're marking Jake and that's it. Jake had 4 points at half time, but I would say Liam actually had a really good first half. I know that's strange to say, but you probably have to give, I suppose, a bit of leniency to Jake. You're probably going to pick off 4 or 5 points every club game, so you give him that. Liam Ryan was very good yesterday. The legs probably went from him in the second half with Jake, just his movement, lads. It's just unbelievable to watch it. Philip Hickey again was very good for Nina. Mark Carey fullback as well. And Dermot McLaren as well, give him a shout in goals. He was very good. Another young fella coming through for Nina. And look, I suppose on the Tomb side, they had 8 wides in total. Conor Grace was a late replacement for Rory Bethlan. He made a few errors in the goals. 3 or 4 puck outs went straight to Conor Hennessy, Philip Hickey, and Mikey Heffernan. They got resulting points from it. But no, Nina won about 23 points to 20 in the end. Deserving winners. Shane Nolan, shout out to Shane Nolan, got 4 points in play. He was very good. Jack Delaney got 3 points in play. And yeah, look, the Lock and Josh McCarty were very solid as well. So look, it won't be the last year. This team will be a very young team as well. Ken Dunlop's the over him this year, but Nina, they just had a little more to tank and they were probably in second or third gear as well, probably in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, we see the North, like, it's a fairly attritional championship there now with 3 rounds for most of the teams there. But now we have Temple Derry versus Nina in a semi-final and Forrest versus Kildangan. So that'll be a cracker, the latter game.
It will. And look, as I said, we'll get on to the game in a second, but that's already probably building up to be probably one of the games of the year because, look, speaking to everyone in Dáil and Nina over the weekend, teams are really going for their division championships this year. It's great, obviously, you have the insurance because, look, you don't know what's going to happen in the county. You could have lads picking up injuries. Lads might go away at the last second, whatever, and you mightn't get through your county stage. You win your division, there's your county quarterfinal spot. So, and look, obviously, everyone knows the North is special. There's something special about North hurling and teams really take the division championships really, really seriously up here. But Jesus, yeah, that semi-final pairing of Barsley.
And just to close it off then, Barsley, obviously, that they were one of the first teams out of the county championship last year. So they'll definitely, you know, every game's a must win for them, I suppose. They will have learned the competitiveness of the county championship. You know, it's having that divisional title in your back pocket is invaluable.
That's it. And look at Nina last year. Nina really put a real drive on for Frank McGrath last year. And they gave us, I suppose, Kildangan a bit of a schooling in the last 10, 15 minutes of Clark Jordan last year. But I suppose going on to Barnsley there now, obviously, after winning the county there a couple of years ago, poor year last year by their own standards. They really put it up to Kildare yesterday. Now, going into it, there was rumours going around Kildare are missing 4 or 5 players, which they were. And I was expecting Barnsley probably to be more comfortably, if I'm being perfectly honest. But Kildare being Kildare, and I made a point during commentary yesterday, in every county game last year in the knockout stages, Kildare went into this game as second favourites. They didn't go into any county game last year as favourites. There's something in that Kildare team and that panel that they have this extra bite that a lot of other clubs don't have. And they were down a lot of bodies yesterday. But look, it was the Eddie Ryan show yesterday, lads. 15 points, 10 frees, 5 in play. And his general work in play, he worked like a dog all day. Unbelievable. Jerry Kelly as well from on one wing, JD Devaney in the other wing. Like, I go through the whole team here. All 6 forwards scored for Barnsley. They were just very impressive. And again, it looked like they probably had another gear in them as well. Kildare were probably flat out. And obviously, look, listen, down a few bodies. But they were very impressive as well yesterday. Look, the usual suspects, Bill O'Mara was very good. in middle of the park. Then kind of Craig Morgan is wearing 11, but he's kind of playing midfield. He got 3 or 4 points in play. I have to give a shout out to Owen Hogan as well, the old dog. Like, he's a 16 to 17 year senior hurling now with Killarawan. He was very good wing back. But no, listen, I suppose Killarawan won't be too deflated with it. It was there for the taking, but considering all the bodies they're missing, I'd say look, they'll definitely kick on from it. They will.
Yeah, and that's as I said, like, you know, a team like Killarawan who've been on the road a long time last year maybe the extra couple of weeks now to knuckle down for the county championships might suit them as well. I suppose, gotcha. Stephen, we'll go to the main event now down south. I suppose the South were quick out of the blocks there last week with Mullaghone and Killinall waiting in the South final now. Carrick Swan beat St. Mary's 116 to 15 points. I suppose what's great about this game is the two biggest, most important players of this game are both up on clubber, like, so people will be able to see them. But I suppose one was a disallowed goal by Mary's kind of midway through the second half, and the other then was the goal from a puck out or whatnot, whether it was touched or whatnot the whole way through. But you were at this one as well. What do you reckon?
Yeah, the two clips you mentioned, gone viral, you know, like, exciting game, but probably a poor enough game, like, you know, compared to the other semi final. It is a horrible place to play a match up in Monroe when the wind is dash. And Kieran Lonergan has a savage puck out on a normal day, and he was putting the ball up into the 6 yard box with the wind, and it was just it really, really put St. Mary's on a wicked pressure and gradually got the Swan a foothold into the game, which we've seen at the end that winner is it's a typical Swan thing, you know, give him a sniff going into the final stage and they get that winner. Like, but I suppose the other controversy, the controversy in the game was the St. Mary's goal that was disallowed was at such a vital stage in the game. I think if that goal was allowed, I think St. Mary's would have went down and won the game, because
it was a momentum shift, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a huge momentum shift, but they were on top. They were the better team throughout the game. I think take the win factor out of the second half and St. Mary's would have finished out the game. That's my thinking of it. But look, you don't want to be too hard on officials either. We're trying our best not to be. But that was a very, very poor call. You know, it was, I thought it was a common thing, although rarely used. I thought everyone knew that you could actually swat a ball into the goal with your hand. And the referee got it wrong. Like, if he signaled that it was a square ball to kind of, like, cover his own arse, let's say, then fellas would just say, no, he wasn't in the square, and that'd be it. But he signaled it was a handed ball into the goal and disallowed the goal, which
yeah,
was wrong.
The keeper took the free from them, but suggest it was that, and he gave the
you know,
action
like,
as well.
But in saying that, like I said elsewhere, that didn't cost St. Mary's the game. I think St. Mary's put himself under their own pressure with their own pockets in the second half. In the first half, their movement was excellent and they delivered a lovely ball more often than not to a fella on the run. In the second half against a hurricane, the wind really picked up in the second half. It was the same hit it as hard as you can kind of a puck out. And it's that's a backstream. It holds up. The forward can't run onto it. He's static. A backman is coming through. And look, when you're a backman in that situation, all you want to do is get something on the ball, move it back down the pitch, put the pressure on their backs. And
that's it. Backman, you know, every puck is going to be coming right down your throat.
Oh yeah, exactly. And they're coming through the forward, like, you know, Seamus came in through the back of one of the Swan lads in one of the pockets and caught a fantastic ball. And it was like, I thought, right, here's where we're going to see it now. And I thought they'd rain ball down on top of him for the rest of the game, but it didn't happen. And I think, look, a little bit more noose on the puck outs and they could have seen out the game, but look,
as you said, Swan smelt a bit of blood there and maybe should have slowed it down a bit more. I think they're over reliant on Sean Kennedy. I think he got 11 or 12.
Yeah, he was excellent.
You know, he's excellent. And Ladder O'Halloran's from Carrick as well was excellent.
I thought Eric was fantastic. He really kept the Swan in the game while they were up against it. You know, he was everywhere on the field. His conditioning, his power, and his willingness to put his body on the line is up there with the best of them. And he really kept them in the game when they weren't hurling well. You know,
but there's a short enough turnaround now for them. You know, Kilnall are well rested, have that extra week. You know, South Final is now scheduled for Sunday in Clonmel, 2 o'clock. So that's a short enough turnaround for the Swan. I know Aaron O'Halloran went off very early on.
Yeah, he's
an
broken.
Injury, so I don't know.
I think he's a broken bone in his foot, so he'll be a loss to him.
He'll be lost.
You know, he's a big young fella, and the young lad stood up now. I give him that. The young lad stood up at the weekend, you know, and they went about their business. Yeah, look, I suppose the turnaround a week. I suppose they're coming off the back of an unbelievable win, and they'll feel they played poorly. They feel they'll play better, so they'll want that semi final straight away. You know, they won't care about a week's rest. They'll want that straight away, and I don't think whatever happens the weekend, I don't think a short turnaround will be a major factor in it. I think they'll you know, I think we're going to be we'll be served up a bit of a cracker anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We'll get back to the intermediate in a few minutes, Sean. We'll go around the houses now. We'll finish with the West and the Mid. I suppose the West are like the South have a combined championship, so the Marys and the Swan was a senior game, as was the Cashel game at the weekend, Cashel Tracy. So Cashel were at one stage, they were 9 points up here. I just saw the Cashel team on paper there. You know, they obviously looked the transfers from a few years ago now. The lads are well settled in, but great to have the likes of Jar Brown back on the field. I think Devin Ryan was up in the other corner. So, you know, Cashel look strong.
That's the Sean, was it?
Yeah, but I know that we're missing our Western correspondent here with Mike, but yeah, I suppose Tracy's look that kind of gave their all. They're the claw back 6 points in there.
Yeah, look, Cashel needed a big performance. I think the way they went out against Burgess last year, they'd be hurting from it. You know, Burgess bullied them. Burgess knocked them out last year, and
Burgess kicked on a bit this year as well.
You know, and they'd need to respond. They'll need to respond to that, like, you know, because when you go out the previous year in a bad way, you kind of you need a good win when you start off the championship. And look, it was a good win. It was a comfortable win for them. And you know, like they'll if they can get the show on the road properly, like they have the numbers, they have players, like, you know, it's just can they get it to gel and you know, do the business on the day. Because there'll be bigger days ahead. Like, I think it'll be grand for him to get a crack at Connolly Rossmore in a West final. But look, that's neither here nor there for Cashel, because that's Connolly Rossmore, and they could win that West in third gear if they wanted, really, if we're honest about
it. But yeah, like, again, you know, I'd give Cashel a bit of a chance there. I think they lost them last year by about 4 or 5 points in the end in the West. I'd be surprised if there's any more this year now. Clonalty, as you said, they were probably got their semi-final on Friday. They got through that in second gear even.
This is a far bigger game. Like, the West final will be a far bigger game for Cashel than it will be for Clonalty. Clonalty have a bigger picture. Look, it'll be a great scalp and all that, and it set Cashel up for the rest of the year. But I think Cashel need to perform, they need the county championship more than they needed the West senior championship.
Absolutely. We'll go to the Mid now, Sean, if the earphones plugged in there now. So Sarsfield's, I suppose, start of the season, dethroned the North or the Mid champions from 2022, J.K. Brackens.
Yeah, an off night there in the rag last night. The rain was hurricaneous playing there. It was downpour for times. Like Brackens again, they're missing Paddy and Connor Cadell, you know, M. McBride. So, like, they were down key players, to be honest. But it's a strange game. We'd own personal corner for Sarsfield was there, gave an exhibition, to be honest. Man, the match scored 1-6. Billy McCarthy also strong in the forward. But we just plucked off points. Ronan's kind of loose there, the back clearing up. And Brackens tried to keep in and keep score down there a point. But the game kind of got away from him in the second half. And it never really took hold either of getting back into it. But again, with the players are missing, and I thought it would have been stronger. And we've actually bet them in June rate by a good score the night before as well. So whether they're missing key men also in that as well, it would have upped that team as another kind of day. But
I suppose it's a tough time of year when you're trying to keep, like, Sarsfield's out tonight in the senior B. It's tough when you're trying to keep two or three panels, like, you know, tight enough, and yeah, two or three key men down, like any team, you know, mostly seem to be missing two or three.
Yeah, Bracken's actually finished with 14, didn't even bring on a sub near the end. They were down a man and injured, just they let it off. No point to waste another player there for juniors. But is it going? Bracken's going to be disappointed though, not to kind of keep it closer for, especially like with the sense of winning the division and having the division run off before the county series. Like, but the group we're in, like, you know, we kind of have to try and go for it and go all out. Waited with Connacht today, that will probably win the West. That'll probably give them a lifeline, maybe, and let the rest of them fight out in the north there. But like, it's good to see our lads moving well. Like, again, Dennis Meriden played Paddy Creed and probably James Armstrong, another lad we can't. There were a few lads that would have maybe there again as well, but it's a good workout. And
is the draw made for that, Sean? Is the draw made?
Yeah, we're playing Holy Cross, and it's more than likely next Saturday even, because the Cork Loose Festival's on there Sunday in Holy Cross. So it's ourselves and Holy Cross. Priorities that keep them going, but they'll beat us maybe Saturday and might go celebrating then to a bit of country and western on Sunday.
Jesus, don't tell some supporter facilitating a team's change of fixture now. So fair play, but we won't mention the war.
And then Holy Cross had a good win over Bracken's. Like, when you saw the scoreline, you saying they pulled away well, but actually went to extra time, which is wasn't that. I was talking to lads are at, and they just said, like, it was a strange game. McCarrick had strong breeze second half, and they could have actually won the game, but in extra time, then they kind of completely had a bit, and the goals killed them. And like, with Reece Shelley and goals, you wouldn't think you'd be conceding that much, but like, when they're running through and getting point blank shots, they're not like no one's going to save them. Barrett, maybe Murphy from Kenny the right to save, but. No.
I suppose one of the games of the weekend, I suppose, was Lochmore. Maybe they were a little bit underdogs here against Drum. I don't know, but you know, there was definitely the McGrath show.
Yeah, there would have been. Drum. I from kind of feeling around if Drum would have been fancy to beat him in that. But then again, like, no McGrath with 8 points from play. It was, people are saying, worth just watching the ball strike. And especially in Temple Hughie, that pitch is so open, like the swirling wind there and the breeze well into the wind and stuff. It's magnificent. And John got two arms from player, 2-2 as well, and the free as well. But like, Drum be disappointed now with that. Conceding 2:30 like to Lochmore, who again these two teams make up against you later on in the campaign. So kind of disappointing them, and Lochmore now going to play.
Like Callanan and the two campions, you know, 48 hours after the tip, you know, exit, they're down in Davin Park playing a challenge match. So I'd say it shows how much they were kind of, you know, gearing up for the club. So
yeah, shame we did get a goal already. He scored round one. Tommy Dolan got 4 points. The rest of them kind of came from frees. David Collins got about 10 frees, you know. So, but they plucked around, but they'll regroup now from that, because you say they're kind of aiming for the maiden. But the draw as well, like, we didn't want to get Lochmore either or Drum in the first round, you know. So it was a kind of a look at a draw. They're on that, and if Lochmore of the hard side of the draw, you can kind of say they maybe up church as well in the semi final, who had a buy or into it. So,
yeah, exactly. Gar Silvermines busted my queue in the weekend. I kind of half fancied an upset in that one there. So continuing on their
good. I think they let a few people down, because I suppose there's a good crop of young fellas coming through the mines. I've probably seen that for a few years now. But look, obviously Conor McKelvey and obviously Mikey Corcoran, everyone knows who they are. But like, I have to mention a couple. Like, I was over or under 17s last year. We won an Art final, and like, there was two of those lads. One started Danny Quinn and made a championship debut, and another guy came on, Kyle Tracy. So look, for 2 17-year-olds come on in championship, you know, it's a cauldron to come on. I remember my championship debut against Ballina, Jesus. It's a long time ago now. It's about 16, 17 years ago now. But it's those days you don't forget, win or lose. But do you know what? It was a very disappointing performance. I get into Burgess now in a second, because I was very impressed at Burgess. But it just seemed, I don't know. And again, I don't want to be coming down hard on anyone, or listen, we've all played a game and everything. But it just seemed a bit flat. Jason was so well marshalled by Johnny Mulqueen. And it's one thing about Johnny, he's unbelievable condition this year. He is in unbelievable nick, and he was just all over Jason. Now, look, listen, he had to give away a few frees, as you do, like, but the fitness of the Burgess team was something that really stood out to me. Stephen Corbin and Michael Ryan were just absolute two horses up and down that line all day. Owen Hogan, everyone knows Owen Hogan. Like, he's got hands like Chris Deering. He's just, the wrists on him are unbelievable. And Bill Flatt was exceptional, absolutely exceptional. Two big men. If Bill wasn't winning the ball in there, he was tapping it down to Stephen Corbin and Mikey Ryan. They were popping on, and it was always Donna or Stephen Murray or Danny Ryan was unbelievable as well, running off the shoulders. That's one thing. They had runners everywhere. It was like a football team. But like, I gave Man the Match to Donna Maher. He was like a 16-year-old out there. Not, I don't know what age Donna is, 34, 35 now. He was just unbelievable. He ran the show, really. And again, Johnny McQueen was unreal at centre-back. Burge, I was very impressed with Burge. I had not seen him this fit in... I don't know if I've ever seen a Burge team as fit. Ronan Tucker's puck-outs were very good. Willie Ryan, the whole full back line. I have to give a shout-out to all of them. They were just really well-conditioned. And now Keith Nealon went off with a head injury. I'm not too sure if he'll be okay for the weekend. Now they got drawn in Newport tonight in the North semi-final. He'll be a massive loss. Mm-hmm. Massive loss. And for the Mines, look, Jason had a quiet day. He got 1 pint from play. Now, it was an unbelievable pint from play. Conor McGilvey took it to Burgess in the second half, but it was just a really off day. No one really had a standout game. There was no real, I don't know, there's no momentum. They got no momentum at a one stage. Now, I will say they went 9 points down at one stage. They brought it back to 4 points. They knocked 5 points over in a row. Bill Flack got a goal, killed the game, done and dusted. But one thing, Burgess, they just ran and ran and ran at the Mines defence. I did no answer for it. So yeah, Burgess won 3-19 to 1-19, and the scoreline is probably a bit generous for the Mines.
And then Newport, I suppose, Tim Floyd in charge there. So we all know that former county secretary seems to be getting the tune out of Newport.
Yeah.
Balna disappointing enough, maybe. Did you see that?
Oh, geez. Come here. I was talking to the chairman, Aaron Devan, after a game, and they were pure deflated. Like, they were 5 points up at 5 minutes ago in the first half. They were doing all the hurling, and Newport has got a small bit of a run on them, and they brought back to a pint right before.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Half time. Now, Ballina came out in the second half. They went 4 points up, and I said, geez, they'll kick on here now. But again, they went flat. They went really flat again. But the main thing that noticed was in the second half, Newport let Ballina receive the puck out, every single puck out in the first half. They just let them have it. And look, Ballina, they ran and ran at Newport. David Kelly, I have to give a shout out to David Kelly. If Ballina had won, he was man of the match. He was unbelievable for Ballina. And you probably see the goal there up in our clubber socials, and you've shared as well, lads. The ball from Owen Power across from the 14. David ran, I'd say 100 miles an hour, snapped it out of the air and buried it in the back of the net. But Paul Hogan, Colin Flight, second half, simple as that. His puck outs, he just landed them all down to 21. They finally fed Colin Flight. And look, anybody who's been watching Newport the last couple of years, he's our main man. Simple as that. A great time for Colin. He's reminds me of Shane O'Donnell, and the way he kind of holds the hurling, his style of hurling. But he got 12 points, 6 in play, 6 frees. Peter Sullivan was very good. Keane Flanagan had a right game midfield as well. But and actually, I have to give another shout out to Oisín O'Brien. He was wearing 11, but Sean O'Brien went off with a hamstring injury in the first 5-10 minutes, and Oisín went back kind of in the full back line. And he gave an absolute monstrous performance. So it was a close call between Oisín O'Brien, Colin Flight and David Kelly for man the match. But Justin Nash, Sean O'Brien, looks like he'll probably be out for a good few weeks. So he'll be a big loss now against Burgess in the North semi-final.
And then I suppose Ballina, Mary's in the first group game of the O'Ree. And so that's nearly a must win from both after both losing the divisionals. Sean, back down to yourself.
Justin Dad, sorry, before we move on, Justin Dad, obviously Stephen O'Brien obviously wasn't playing Friday night and looks like he's out for the year as well. So it's a big uphill task now for Ballina.
He's the selector, isn't he, on the programme?
He is, yeah. And he was there on the sideline, all right. And now Mikey Breen had a good game as well. But again, Mikey's playing centre-back. But it's a big ask now for Ballina to kick on, because I watched the Mary's game as well, and Mary's are impressive. the point is made there by Sean, I think, that if the wind wasn't there, they were definitely the better team. But yeah, the big chance for Ballinat to beat them on the first round championship.
Yeah. Sean, the Turles All-Stars lost against the mighty Clonakenny this evening.
Yeah, and the mighty Clay sort of did. To be fair, Clay, and down there, I said, venue was pitch perfect, good blow. So no, fair play to Clay there for hosting that on a night where he couldn't get a field around the herd. We lost 3-17 to 17. With a lot of youth and older senior players, but it's disappointing result and to lose kind of in that game in the kind of semi-final for a bit of silverware now so early on. And in the other semi-final, Mind Temple 2 were disappointed, but they're down a few of their main men like Gord O'Connor especially. They lost Curtin Hoo, won 20-18 points in the other semi-final. So like it's a Curtin Hoo and Clonakenny final in the mid in Premier to Media, which we kind of at the start of you might have said there's no like Mine could have been in it or like Sarsfield. So I know it is right there for both of them teams. So for lifeline.
You know, whoever wins that, again, we talk about the, you know, focusing in on the divisional, getting your preliminary quarter final. But Gordon, who obviously had a great year last year, Common Club, nice new field. Like, and, you know, geez, and the Premier Intermediate to top that off would be just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, they're playing great stuff. We kind of mentioned on the pod last number of years that they're developing and they've done some work out there in terms of the stands and the new fields and actually for the mobiles. So like they're pumping in and it's actually showing in the other end where they're actually getting results and getting to finals where they could be lifting a bit of the cup there next weekend.
Exactly, yeah, without writing off Clonakenny. So yeah, there probably won't be much in that one again.
No.
Stephen, I won't ask you too much about the next one because I know you're involved, but I suppose Kilsheen, a bit of a surprise because I had Ballingarry down as going very well in the intermediate after a good win against Skahina Rinky in the quarterfinal. But Kilsheen in full value for I think it was a 5-point win in the end and probably should have been a bit more.
Yeah, full value for the win. To be honest, I was a bit disappointed with Ballingarry as well. I thought now they were getting their ducks in a row. Maybe a long league campaign had them flash. You know, like as in flat as in motivation wise, because the old traits of Ballingarry was used to be intensity and aggression, you know, and in your face hurling, and it wasn't to be seen. You know, if you swapped jerseys, you would have easily thought Kilsheen or Ballingarry because they brought the fire, they brought the aggression and the intensity, and they bullied Ballingarry. And Ballingarry got their tactics wrong. The half back line played way too far out the field and really, really hurt their full back line, you know, because there's pace all over that Kilsheelan team. And they made hay. But when Ballingarry showed it up a bit in the second half, they kind of got back into the game. And, you know, like, I don't think Kilsheelan were ever going to get bet. But, I think it was 2-14 they scored. Like, they'd be disappointed with that scoreline, you know, because they dominated most of the game. Hopefully... go ahead.
No, and they're saying that, you know, that Ballingarry Dylan Walsh was kept quiet by the older one, the Butlers, and then Senan Butler, I think, kind of, you know, he's a live wire in the forwards, but he's a big addition to him this year.
Oh, he's selfless. He's one thing on the mind when he gets that ball in his hand, and that's going straight for goal. And there's no going around the man either to go through the man, you know, and he's a great young hurler. He's going to take wicked watching, you know. And Mark's brother, Barry Keogh, he was excellent. He was excellent in the first half. He was the one that he took it to Ballingarry more than, you know, on the scoreboard because he was the one doing the scoring. They did some poor wides in the first half, Kilsheelan did. But, you know, this young lad now, he was excellent. Mark Stokes put a world of ball at centre-back. You know, they made a hero out of him as well, in a sense. But I suppose as a non-marking sweeper, you have to be in the right place at the right time. And do you see he must have had a pain in his hands for pucking balls back down the field.
Without putting the wind up, you know, but that Kilsheelan team is a very good team on paper and has been for a few years.
Oh, I think there's about 10 or 11 of them this year alone that are off either football,
county teams,
hurling, or, you know, so they'd have fierce training throughout the year, hence why they can't take part in the county league because they don't have the numbers. But half their squad are on county teams, so like they'd be disappointed with how last year went, considering they were in the county final the year before. But this Kilsheelan, they're a serious outfit, and
probably up their own money goal as the favourites, you'd say.
Yeah, they bring serious pace. It's a huge positive. Like, there's no slow lads around the field. If you know, if you understand me, like a very quick game, you know.
Will you bother showing up on Saturday evening? He's gone now, just as I say that. So he's not sensibly not answering. Right, as we leave the club there for a couple of minutes, because you know we had two All Ireland semi-finals. The first one, I suppose, look, it went to plan for Limerick. Maybe the bit of dark arts or whatever you want to call it, a bit of gamesmanship there. But Galway, once they were ahead, they never looked like raising a gallop second half, Sean. Or
yeah, it's just Limerick again, the second half forms, but Galway, I don't. The second half, like, you change tactics inside four lane, change them up a bit. They're dominating there. Like, level they were, like, they were every chance. Like, even by, like, even looking at the pricing there online, drawing it and whatever, they were, Limerick, like, weren't giving much of a chance, like, when the game was running. But then, about 26, 27 minutes on, Limerick just took over and it was just standard Limerick there. Like, even missing their key man, like, they're still
shows just the flexibility now. You know, we always knew they had just that kind of core or whatever, but they seem to be showing that they can plug the few gaps in that, like, more than a few gaps at this stage.
Exactly, yeah. Their half backs in there were dominant, like Aaron Glenn, like, but still, you shouldn't be catching ball over the last head like that, scoring goals. And I know it's a great catch and finish, but, like, you know, be ruthless, you know. But golly, be very disappointed how they finished out second half, particularly. I mean, like, they folded at a point there, to be honest. Like, even the second Limerick goal was just kind of scrappy as well, like, no, there was no real.
There's no kicking him at all. And Gary, I suppose, where do you think that leaves Tip now? I suppose, having, you know, being beaten by Galway, like,
I'd be a lot more positive about Tip. Look, I suppose, like, hopefully it's a long term project with Liam. Like, he played a lot of young players this year. We have to remember that. I know Shefflin has done as well, a lot of the under 20 down through the last couple of years, but I just don't think Galway, I don't buy into this, the battle, or they just caved in. I don't buy into that narrative at all. I just don't think they have the hurlers, and simple as that, to compete at the top table. Now, we don't at the moment either. Let's call a spade, we don't. But I think we've had a lot more coming through than what Galway do. So I'd be very positive about us in the next 2 or 3 years. But I suppose just at the weekend, like, we're calling it the dark arts of Nicky Quaid. Every single club and county team in the country do it. Limerick are just the best ad, and everyone is pissed off because they are the best ad. Well, it's as simple as that.
Down in Monroe, like, there was more time spent with lads injured, you know, the first half and the second half was gas. Like,
that's it. But, like, isn't it all? It's like in soccer, everyone hates Man City because they're the best team at the moment. It's like whoever's at top, like, at the moment, like, everyone probably wants Kilkenny to win. No, not everyone obviously in Tip now wants Kilkenny to win, but, like, a lot of the country want Kilkenny to beat Limerick because they're winning. But I think what Nicky Quaid done probably was turning the game, and Shefflin said it after the game, lads. And it's just because he did and Limerick did it, it's been more high profile. I wouldn't make anything of it at all. It was just good sports or good gamesmanship by Nicky Quaid. But
Shefflin, does he have a third year in him up there, do you think, lads, or is he on that long list of Galway underperforming managers now?
You have to give him the third year. Personally, you'd have to give him the third year. If he doesn't do it, look. But again, as I say, I don't think they have the hurlers. It's as simple as that.
I suppose then the game of the weekend, Barra club scene, was definitely Sunday. Our old friend, Mr. Lohan, an ideal result for Clare, maybe, like, you know, the heroic loss kind of thing, or the failure. But Kilkenny, Stephen, I know you're on the border there, but, like, you just have to give it to them, don't you? They just don't know. Sometimes they just don't know.
Yeah, it's to never give up and work for everything. It's just bred into them, nearly, you know. And, like, they always bring a physicality and an intensity that's, you know, it's through the roof. And look, I know we get jabs at the Leinster Championship, but Kilkenny don't have to be ready until the Leinster final, you know. So, like, the freshness that they'll bring into the All Ireland series, it's savage. And we spoke about it last day, Adrian Mullen being available or not, you know. And, like, these Ballyhale lads, what they do for Kilkenny is what Ballygunner should be doing for Waterford. Like, you know, they bring a wealth of experience and a wealth of calmness in a ferocious, intense environment, and you just can't. They'll never die, Kilkenny, because, you know, they have this thing where people talk, compare them to the great teams. Ah, they're not, this is a poor Kilkenny team. They're not poor. There's no poor hurlers in Kilkenny on a Kilkenny panel. You know, like this myth, and it's the Kilkenny boys that'll throw it out. Oh no, this team not great now. That lad, Asher Hewitt, they're a bunch of fantastic hurlers. They're trained and they're conditioned brilliantly, and they have a hunger and a desire when they go onto a hurling field. That keeps them in most games. And what a lot of people forget is, with a little bit of better ball into the forwards last year, they could have won an All-Ireland. You know, like, they had Limerick on the ropes a lot, but they just Hail Mary'd every single ball, and it suited Limerick, you know, coming into the dying stages. But look, Brian Lowen got what he wanted. He got a bit of a controversial call to go against him, and it papered over all his flaws throughout the game, because he got an awful lot wrong on the day. And you know, and I think if you're going to be constantly using the referee as an excuse, I don't think your team is going to improve.
He's so pumped up on the line over the refereeing decisions, isn't he? There, he just, like, everyone, he's in the face kind of thing. Like, you know, it's like that over a minor team or something like that.
Like, I think that, like, let's call it a spade a spade. The ref had a poor game yesterday, but it wasn't the winning and losing of either team. He made three or four very, very poor decisions. But again, it is something that Lohan does. Even when they win, I've noticed he does bring in the fourth officials and the refs the whole time. And it takes away, like, Clear still gave an unbelievable performance yesterday. And by bringing in the referee, it's taken away from the performance of your players. And, like, they left everything out in the field yesterday. Like, they only lost by 2 points, lads. And they only lost by Limerick by a point or two in Munster twice as well. So, like, they're still a serious outfit. But now everyone's talking today about Brian Lohan and about the officials, not about the performance that Clare put in. So it's just something, I don't know. It's just,
That's on the manager himself, though. He's the one creating all of this. And I think that will hold back a team, because rather than look within yourself, well, what are the things that we might have done wrong? Like, you know, are we shooting from an impossible angle? Are we not working the ball with a little bit more composure? Instead, now everything is, the referee. Like, where's that face in the mirror to say, look, there's one or two things I got wrong on the day that we can improve on, you know?
Exactly. Like,
you know, we should be talking about a fantastic performance from Clare, because they have been playing excellently since Tipperary beat them. Mm-hmm. But all the talk is referees from them, you know, and that's not healthy for a team either.
And only for a wonder save, Sean, and, like, I suppose the bad thing here is, when you slow this down in slow motion, it actually, like, I think the real thing here is, look at how fast this all happens. Live action, it was
wrong footed, so currently on the other side. It came on a rebound, like, even to get a shot off was phenomenal in the first place. But then Tomorrow to pull off crossbar, like this thing, like, if that went in, like, Clare kept probably may have deserved no to win the game like that. What a day, but as you said there, Clare had a phenomenal game, and, like, Tony Hill was kept to 1 point by Mikey Butler, like, again, like.
2 years in a row.
At one point, he's playing as a forward. Tony Kelly ended up being a backman for most of that game as well. Like, so the masterclass again by Mikey Butler was unbelievable, honest there. And before the game, RT were building up Tony Kelly this. And, you know, like, that's the thing, like, other Clare players in around said, right, if he doesn't do it, we'll do it. And they nearly did on the day, like, with Tony Kelly being kept quiet. Like, Shane Donlan inside, Fitzgerald midfield powerhouse again, you know, Rodgers wouldn't miss any pace balls, just like TD Reid. But then you have to look at Kenny brought on players that, like, in other counties, you may say, kind of gone back. Richie Hogan, like, he had no speed in the corner there when he won that ball, but he just won a free. He went, dropped the head. It could have been Rick Harrod. Like, if Richie Hogan got sent off for the same against Barrett, if you kind of think of it, you know. So, like, TJ Reid.
Walter Walsh as well, you know, coming on. Yeah.
Like, Wally Walsh, you know, Paul Walsh again. So, these are players, but they're bringing on the kind of drive and the willpower and the cleverness that are coming on for Kenny, and that's what they're doing for years. But Clare, we just saw this point. I've not, is it 10 years since won the game in Croke Park? Is it?
Yeah, 2013, I think, is the stat. They haven't been since they beat Cork in the replayed final, that they haven't won a game since.
So it's just something you need to get over the hood. Like, at the start of the year, even during both campaigns, we're kind of saying, like, people kind of want to draw Kenny to this in the same final, like, but. They are now looking back going, geez, what could we have done there? But starting Morey, I think, first time trying to play that system, he didn't look like he knew what he was doing either. It was a kind of a very late call where they're working on and training, you know, so that's the thing as well. Like, Lohan, like, the season again, the costume. Yeah.
Call from Lohan. The first game, you know, first round the Munster, he drops his keeper and it cost him there. And then, like, you know, so I don't think he's learning. Just
he wasn't effective doing the sweeping either. He kind of seemed lost at times because Richie Reid is pinging the balls left and right into Cody there, like, with a phenomenal game. So, like, he wasn't even in front of Cody covering that ball in. So, like, what did he actually effectively do in the first half? Not a whole pile, to be honest.
We spoke about it on the last, I think it was the last pod or the pod before that. We spoke about how teams are, you know, they're kind of putting that way too much emphasis on what the other team will do. And it looked like Clare prepared to play against Kilkenny, focusing on what Kilkenny might or might not do to them, rather than focusing on their own game, what's done them so well all throughout the year and what they've been training and preparing for all year. Then all of a sudden, bang, changes it for the All-Ireland semi-final. Like, that's, for me, that's poor management. That's poor decision making. Like, as you mentioned already, Kevin, he had the goalie situation at the start of the year, and then in the Munster final, he had the cornerback situation.
Exactly.
And then, you know, then here again, we had out of the blue formation, you know, and it's like, look, a little bit of effort has to go into the opposition, but first and foremost, your focus is on making your own game plan work. Making your own team excel at what they are best at. And, you know, it is another error from Brian Owen.
Yeah, and I suppose that's, like, maybe where, I suppose, we talked about Galway, we talked about Clare, we talked about Kilkenny, but, and there Limerick are again, I suppose, just we really do have to give them their credit, you know, going for 4 in a row, 5 out of the last 6, largely the same cohort of players, and, like, maybe Galway weren't ever going to be the team to take them down, but, you know, they just seem to be timing their run again, given a big performance in Croke Park.
Yeah, like, you see, like, Declan Hannon, like, was probably one of the best sixes I've seen in my time. And, like, even Lynch, like, the last couple of weeks, last couple of games, he was a nobody, absolute nobody. Went away for 2 or 3 weeks, bit of training, and he could have been man of the match yesterday or at the weekend. He could have been man of the match. He gave an unbelievable performance. And it's just like this old saying, and I hate cliches, everything, go back to the well with the same players, but they are. And they're only bringing in maybe one player every year. Do you know? And it's not their, like, Sean Finn missing, Declan Hannon missing, Keane Lynch only back. I don't know. It's just, they're just a team for the ages. They are reminding me, obviously, of the Kilkenny team that won the 4 in a row as well. And it's just, they're just a class act, and Kylie and the whole backroom team and everything that they do, like the small little things with Nicky Quaid, those small little things, that turned the game at the weekend. So they're just, you just have to, like, whether you like them or not, you just have to give them the credit. Simple as that.
Exactly. And I suppose, look, we'll talk a bit more about the preview for the final in the next pod and that. But I suppose before we finish it up tonight, that's the biggest game of the weekend. Cappa White are back into a West Premier Intermediate final now. So, a hard fought win. I don't have the score there. I think it was 116 to 16 points or something like that. Michael will be on to correct me if I am wrong. But they're playing Arrowvale, so that's a novel pairing as well. In that final. Sorry, not Premier Intermediate. I'm not promoting them prematurely.
Intermediate, junior
Intermediate.
You're thinking about the South one this weekend.
Yeah. No, so big win for Cappa White there as well. And he managed to catch that one, or
no, I didn't.
That's surprising me. And look, no. Big win for Arrowvale as well. You know, their team you probably see bouncing around with Ballybacon in the old relegation playoff there in Intermediate the last few years. So good to see that. You know, look, two clubs now, like, that'd be a big boost for them to whoever wins that one at the weekend.
Yeah,
that's the agenda, lads. We won't mention
the ladies had a fantastic win the weekend. It's not only semi final. Yeah.
Just going to say that. Actually, I give a small shout out there. The father, he actually drove the team bus up to Croker with Dennis and the women on Saturday. So he had a right day out. He got a ticket for both matches on Saturday as well. So he had a right day out. But I just have to say, I've been following the Camogie there very close, and my two sisters played down for years and everything. And I just think the job Dennis has done the last 12 months, like, obviously this team, I suppose, for the last couple of years, they haven't been thereabouts even in knockout games. But it's only been 12 months, Dennis. Not even 12 months, Dennis, there. I think the job he's done, lads, it's just absolutely incredible. Regardless of the result against Waterford, I think what he's done this year is just incredible. And I'd be very surprised if they didn't beat Waterford. They were just so impressive.
A bit of momentum building there. But we have to get them on, I think, given their dues. And maybe, you know, if there's anyone around from the Camogie, just to kind of reach out there with we'll go through maybe the season a bit, and more than happy to have a chat.
100%. And Dennis is a good man to talk. He's done a few pods there with Nina Garrison down through the years and stuff as well. He's a good man to talk and he knows the game inside out. But no, it's great. And to be back in Croker now for another shot, exactly. Another Ireland final. And I don't know, when was the last time Tip were in another Ireland final, Camogie? It's a good while, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
your Corks and Kilkenny's.
It's just great seeing back at the top table it is.
Exactly. No, look, seeing my own club there, the more of a focus on Camogie, it lifts the whole club and getting more involved and getting new people involved as well. So, you know, hopefully more and more clubs now will start kind of promoting the Camogie around the county and we'll start getting players in.
Before we go any further, it's not Tip or Little, but I want to highlight it. The Kilkenny player of the match at the weekend. I don't know if he's seen it.
Jesus, don't be starting this now. Yeah. The
I just want to say it. I know it's my first time on the pod. I don't want to bring up too much controversy because you're fairly good at doing that yourselves anyway. with some schedule, and we won't get there actually. But I just thought it was absolutely scandalous how I know they were the sponsor of the tournament as well, but how they were let away with giving the Kilkenny player of the match a radio. It was just absolutely disgraceful, I suppose. That's why they're fighting for what they're fighting for, but there's not enough faces and I don't think they're getting enough backing. I just had to bring it up. I just thought it was absolutely disgraceful.
Did Kenny lay not to do with the player of the match presentation, but did they lay themselves down and their fellow Camogie players down with their with not taking part in the protest?
You know, I personally wouldn't give an opinion on it unless I got both sides of the camp. I wouldn't give an opinion.
I'd say a blinkered view All Ireland semi, no distractions would be the key.
Yeah,
probably. But again, outside the camp,
seemingly they had agreed to do it, and then they stopped it. So whether that's the truth now or not is another thing. But I was told they agreed to do it, and then they went against what the agreement was. So it's a little bit. Not nice to the rest of the Camogie colleagues, you know, if that's the case.
No, well, if that is the case, I would agree with you. But I suppose, look, that's why there's bigger issues like within Camogie. It's just, I don't know, it's like you see the club level, you see county finals being played in December and January. And it's just, the sooner all this gets resolved, the better, because it's just an absolute disgrace what's going on.
There's a long road there, lads, working out the detail. I mean, everyone would agree with the... You know, the kind of overall trust of it, one organization and all that, but there's a long road to go with the detail there and who does what and who gets what. So, look, I suppose that could be a good conversation for November, December when we've no games to talk about for now. But look, plenty of games on next weekend again. Big shout out to the Davins now. Try to keep it under 10 points against the Kilchead and All Stars the weekend. So, out in Clare on Saturday evening. So, thanks a million, lads.
Thanks a million.
Thanks very much for having us, lads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.